The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
All right, everyone, welcome to the 76 Reasons podcast. I'm Anthony Passiola, joined here by my co-host, Jacob Moreno. Jacob, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we can jump into things.
Yeah, obviously, you know, my name is Jacob. I'm a sophomore journalism major at Temple University. I cover the Sixers on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram, I have a page called Sixer Country with almost 44,000 followers. Twitter, I have, I think, 6,000 now. So, yeah, always active on there, always providing constant updates, opinions, etc. So, yeah, excited to get into it.
It wouldn't be a 76ers podcast if the first thing we talked about was injuries. Of course, there's always an injury going around. McCain and Embiid the same night. Embiid, I think, is out for at least a week. McCain, I mean, who knows if he even comes back this year? Like, just what are your initial thoughts on both those guys going down?
I'll touch on McCain first because that's like the most like severe. So obviously, Sham said he was ruled out indefinitely. And as we all know, like meniscus, we know too well about meniscus injuries at this point. So obviously McCain will probably be out maybe at least 4 months. This is just me speculating, not like saying anything. And with that being said, you think about we're in December, regular season ends in early April. So it's probably more than likely he'll miss the remainder of the regular season. Maybe he'll come back if the Sixers make the playoffs. But I think the Sixers should have the mindset of operating without McCain, whether that's their approach to the trade deadline or just what they do in terms of the rotation in the short term and in the long term. As far as any replacements for him may go, maybe we'll see them address that lack of a point guard at the deadline, because even with McCain, the Sixers don't have a traditional type of point guard. Like, that's what we thought Kyle Lowry would do, but he's been more off the ball and just simply just ineffective as a basketball player, unfortunately. So, yeah, that's probably what they'll do there. It's unfortunate because McCain was definitely the front runner for Rookie of the Year. Probably going to go to Stephon Castle at this point, but he really was just having a phenomenal rookie season. As far as Embiid goes, that's, I think people were just looking for a reason to make, to say like the sky is falling. He'll be reevaluated in 1 week, according to Shams. So the Sixers have 3 games in between then, in an hour and a half from now against the Charlotte Hornets. Looks like LaMelo Ball may play. They're not 100% certain. Charles Lee said he'll be on a minutes restriction. Then they also rematch the Hornets on Friday for the 17th time, it feels like, this season. Then a back-to-back against the Cavs Saturday. So I think, as I said on Twitter, it's essential for them to go 2-1 in the stretch. Granted, the Hornets are more healthy than the Sixers, but these are simply games they need to win. So I think Embiid, as far as him and his timetable, I think he probably should be back, in theory, like next week or a little
after. Right, you would expect, yeah.
In my point in the article I just made on my Substack, got to plug that real quick, of course, I think it's just – I think people need to realize that even without McCain, the Sixers can compete, assuming the big three will return at some point before the year ends. Because as great as McCain was, you can't rely on a rookie to, you know, raise your ceiling and your floor. And they'll be able to compete, especially with how weak the Eastern Conference has been. Because even now, despite being 7-16, they're only 2 games away from the 10th seed, which is currently occupied by the Brooklyn Nets. So, and as far as McCain, It sucks. They're going to need to maybe sign a backup point guard if they want to cut somebody or whatever consequences of whatever trades. So they'll definitely need to address that one way or the other. And Embiid, as long as his knee holds up and everything, he should be back sooner than later. So it's not time to press the panic button just yet, but they're going to start to need to act fast. What do you think?
The fact that we're even saying if the Sixers make the playoffs to me is just so like it's funny, but it's like kind of sad. Like, dude, they're supposed to be with the Celtics, the Knicks, and like the Cavs. And I mean, you just mentioned them being behind the Nets. So that kind of sums up how the Sixers season is going. In terms of the injuries, I mean, it's just. I mean, at some point you just have to like call it unlucky. Like, obviously Embiid is Embiid. He's gonna be in and out of the lineup. But with McCain, like, you can't do anything about that. Like, I thought he had a head injury after I saw it, and then next day he reports knee soreness, and then it's a torn meniscus. Like, I just it's almost time to throw in the towel to me. And I know you're not willing to say that yet, but I mean, at some point, like if Embiid keeps falling down and like going out of the lineup, and then George and Maxey, which we'll talk about later, neither of those two have been what we expected them to be, I guess would be the word. But I don't think a McCain replacement can even like get them back to where they were hoping to be to start the season. Why are you gonna compete all the way up to get to the sixth seed just to lose in the second round for the 19th year, it feels like.
Just to like kind of elaborate on my point about why they shouldn't tank just yet is due to the fact that kind of like I said, they're 2 games behind the Nets for the 10th place. The Eastern Conference is extremely weak. And kind of going back to what I said, if they have the big three available for the most part, obviously with Embiid, we never truly know the extent to which he is available. But if he's available and it's just the only thing that's going on is that whole knee management plan, then I say that you compete because Daryl Morey is never one to tank. I can't even remember the last time he was willing to tank. And as long as the Sixers have a chance, whether that's the 10th seed or the 6th seed, I think they're going to go all in. And I think another thing is that if you tank now and you like bring back the cap space flexibility plan, how is that going to sit with guys like Embiid and Maxey? Because you kind of said that the whole message Daryl Morey sent is we want to prioritize, flexibility to sign Paul George or whatever. So how would it look if you do that again this season with no really end goal of this offseason in mind, if that makes any sense? And also due to the fact that they need to play together. Like this whole thing where Embiid misses a few, they need to establish chemistry. But once they do that, I truly think that this is one of the better trios in the league. We saw it against the Chicago Bulls. It was like, I even said, I did a podcast with Sean Bernard. Like it felt so good just to see them handle a weaker opponent and be fully healthy and just kind of go back to normalcy. But obviously, we're long removed from that, even though it was pretty much just a week ago. It's extremely chaotic at this point.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is only episode one, but everyone watching, you'll learn very quick. I tend to be very pessimistic about the NBA, like different teams, and the Sixers are included for me. Like, I understand completely. Like, the big three, if there's too many ifs for me, is the problem. If Embiid stays healthy, if George looks like his old self, if Maxey starts shooting normal shots, like, to me, so many things have to go right at this point when they should have never even put themselves in this position to begin with. So I think if I was Daryl Morey, look, I would go talk to Embiid, and I would not want to see that conversation, but that's a different story. And just say, look, like, you need to understand how much has gone wrong this year and how much of it is not in my control. So at the end of the day, Embiid's under contract. Unless he pulls a Ben Simmons, he's playing for the Sixers for the foreseeable future. So is Maxey, so is George. So if you throw away 1 year with the big three, it's not the end of the world to me, even though the expectations were far from doing that. And then the Thunder just, I mean, screwed them over. Top six protected. Like, Sam Presti is different. Like, so different.
Yeah, I do want to touch on that protected pick. So another thing about the Sixers tanking, why I'm not really for it, is because one, the previous points I said where the season is still salvageable despite everything pretty much going wrong to this point. But also, like you said, As a part of the Al Horford trade in the 2020 offseason, the Sixers sent the 2025 first, but they protected it 1 through 6, meaning that if the pick falls out of that range, which it very likely will, the Thunder get it. So you're t like hypothetically, the Sixers would tank, they would sell, they would trade whoever and prioritize flexibility. They would maybe shut Embiid down for the season if like they're going full tank. But with that being said, even if they somehow the ping pong balls magically aligned where they were one of the last four teams there to compete for their first overall pick, the Sixers only have a 14% chance to get that pick. So there's a real world where it's all for nothing. So could you imagine if they did all this, right? They shut Embiid down for an extensive amount of time.
And then you
They
get the
sold
seventh pick.
exactly.
Oh
Like you
my
sell
goodness.
Yabusele, you sell whatever just to do that. It would be very bad. But let's move on now to,
Heartbreaking.
because you kind of touched on it, let's move on now to Tyrese Maxey and Paul George and Anthony. Would you like to go a little more in depth about what you've seen about those two?
Sure. I mean, for Paul George, I think it's so funny. I'm assuming you saw this report when it came out that Embiid really wanted the Sixers to trade for Jimmy Butler, not like George was almost like plan B for them, it felt like. To me, that's really concerning to me. Like that your franchise cornerstone, this was the guy that he said, you know what? He to me doesn't compare to Jimmy Butler. And I don't think Jimmy Butler's looked all that great this season either. So that speaks even more levels to how disappointing George has been. Like I think he's averaging somewhere in the realm of like 15 or something. Something like that should not be that's not a big three guy. When you say big three, I'm not thinking of guys that are averaging 15 points and pretty poor efficiency all around. To me, I don't know what else to blame other than just he's getting old. Like when I'm watching, I don't really see one thing like I do with Maxi. Where it's like, yeah, that's the one problem. For me, I think it's just injuries have been building up over time. He's just regressing. It's just kind of a part of what's happening, which is why I didn't like that 4-year, $220 million contract they gave him in the first place. I don't think anyone that old should be paid that much money, personally. And then switching to Maxey, thankfully you can point to what's wrong with him. And it's really just the shot selection, the inefficiency, and I think it's more just a slump. Like he'll figure it out. I'm a lot more worried about George than I am Maxie.
So to touch on what you first said about the Jimmy Butler report about how Embiid wished the Sixers would have traded for him, I forget like the exact details and who put that out, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't like extremely true considering that Embiid publicly flirted with Paul George on national
Yeah, that's
television
what I'm
during the
saying. Like
finals.
it was weird. Like behind
So
the scenes, who knows what really happened.
even if Embiid did want Butler, like he also visibly wanted Paul George. So that's all I'm gonna say there. And like you said, Jimmy Butler, that's been a whole other development this season. He's been in that lineup. The Heat are actually starting to find rhythm now, funny enough, with Butler back. They've won, I think, I don't know, they've won a lot. They're on a 3 or 4 game winning streak, I believe. So it's clicking down there, but that's a whole another topic for maybe a whole nother podcast. But back to Paul George. I look at it like this. They brought him in to be the third option, and his role has fluctuated a lot. And with someone who struggled with injuries due to age and all of that, it's been difficult for him to establish rhythm because some nights, very rarely, he'll actually play his actual role, which is the third option. Some nights, he's the number two behind Maxey, and some nights, it's Paul George carry us to a win like that game against the Hornets last week. So I will kind of give him the benefit of the doubt there. And also the fact that he's been the team's best playmaker by far, his ability to read the pick and roll and kind of draw defenders, create shots, it's been that was really valuable when the Sixers won 4 of the last 5 a few days ago. And he's also been a very solid perimeter defender. So I will kind of give him some grace there. But yeah, it is disappointing. But I think also the Sixers have to probably realize, and fans probably realize that, we're not by signing George to this contract, like obviously, we're not going to get 2019. We're not going to get OKC Paul George. We're not
No,
going to get
Thunder
Pacers
George.
Paul George. Yeah. Like we have to realize what we were getting ourselves into. And yes, that price was steep, $212 million for 4 years. But
220 for a third option, like
thing is, that's what you have to do in today's NBA. And
it's yeah.
I really don't think there was that better of an option because Brandon Ingram would have been better, like flat out no. I mean, I think at least
I'm
Jimmy
with you
Butler,
there.
yeah. And if you trade for Jimmy Butler, we'd have no cap flexibility. All the picks would likely be gone. So this was the best option for better or worse. And now I'll kind of move into Tyrese Maxey. I've been very critical of Maxey's shot selection because I know what he's capable of. I know the type of work ethic he has. And we've seen what he could do on his best nights. And I think a big issue with Maxey is that he feels like he's the guy. He has to carry the team because of all the circumstances, which
Hero
is very
ball.
understandable. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very understandable, but at a certain point, his shot selection has been really poor. Like, I've seen him settle for a lot of step back threes. I've seen him settle for contested shots at the rim where defenders swarm him. His playmaking has been very inconsistent, and he is someone who benefits from Embiid's gravity. We saw his play style pretty much change night and day in that win against the Bulls. In that game against the Bulls, Nick Nurse spammed Embiid Maxey pick and roll, and it worked. Maxey was so much more decisive. He was so much more aggressive. Shot selection was better. So he is someone, for better or worse, who is better without Joel Embiid. The debate of whether he can be the face of a franchise, that's a whole other thing. But at this stage of his career, I don't think so, at least not right now. But I think Maxey will be fine. He just needs to play with Joel Embiid, just like the rest of the roster at this point.
It's weird to me, like how, like, there's a weird parallel between Embiid and Jokic in that sense, where both guys, the roster is so reliant on them being on the floor. And it's funny because Jokic's is even more extreme, because it's not that Jokic is injured all the time. It's that when he goes to the bench, the Nuggets become like the worst team in the NBA in like so many different categories, which is unreal to me. I think Embiid has that same effect that you're kind of hinting at. Just not in the same spotlight. And of course, because he's not getting the criticism when he's on the bench, it's when he's injured and can't play. So I think.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Embiid does get some harsh criticism there, and he doesn't get enough credit when he is on the floor, because I would agree, like, Maxey plays so much better with him. Even McCain, like, there was, I don't remember what game it was, but I just remember those two working in the pick and roll so nicely together. Like, and it was one of McCain's, like, hot games in that big streak. But I don't know. I think he deserves more credit in that area where Jokic, like, is praised for that.
Yeah, 100%. I personally have Jokic as my MVP pick right now because despite him,
Oh,
winning so many MVPs, just his floor raising this season, the way he's elevating the Nuggets with such a poor roster, it's truly unprecedented. Like you said, the on and off numbers are just absolutely ridiculous. His playmaking, his scoring, rebounding, like there is nobody carrying a team more right now than Nikola Jokic. And also, like you said, when Embiid is healthy and is putting up these historic numbers, he doesn't get enough recognition because Embiid had one of the best stretches in the past decade in the last season before he got injured. He was nearly putting a Wilt Chamberlain numbers, which is ridiculous. And nobody's really talking about that stretch because, everyone talks about that part of the season in the 18-19 season where Harden completely took over with his scoring, dropping 50 like it was nothing. And Embiid really isn't getting that same respect with how dominant he's been. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just everyone. I mean, and I don't blame them. The best ability is availability, and Embiid does not have that. And I mean, there's pros and cons to it. Like, he deserves more credit, but at the same time, how can you get credit if you don't play?
And to
But
kind of like pivot now, the trade target. So obviously Daryl Morey and the Sixers aren't usually a team to reveal who they're after. We haven't really seen that throughout the past few deadlines, but there are a few names that do come up that do kind of intrigue me a bit. And do you kind of want to get us started kind of thinking of some guys that you're interested in at the trade deadline?
yeah, I can throw a couple names out there just that I've heard. Well, first of all, and I know you were mad about this, is no Herb Jones coming to Philly. I'll you know what, you just I know you feel very strongly about Herb Jones. I'll let you ran on
All
that.
right. So to be fair, I love Herb Jones. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. He is the definition of a defensive playmaker. He is such an elite perimeter defender. He can do so many things on the defensive end, whether it's help on drives, navigate screens, just coverage and isolation. Like he really is the complete package. He was someone who would be a perfect fit on this team, especially at that power forward
Percent.
position. Granted, he isn't like that 6'10 traditional power forward mold, but he could do so many things that would just elevate this team that like Kelly Oubre can't, that Caleb Martin even couldn't. So yeah, I was really high on Herb Jones. He was also the shooting doesn't really, show it this season. I think he's only shooting around the 30% mark from three this season. But when you consider how many injuries the Pelicans had and that his primary creators for the better part of the year were Elfrid Payton and Brandon Boston, it's kind of easy to see why he hasn't been able to capitalize on many looks from beyond. But when you factor in again that Embiid gravity, he would be so much better of a shooter because he is someone who likes to pull up from the corner. And when you have Embiid who draws two or three defenders, it would have been a perfect fit, almost like how Nick Batum was last season. But like I said, the original report, Shams said, I think it was Shams who said Pelicans were shop were receiving interest, yeah, receiving interest about Herb Jones, CJ McCollum, never stated that the Pelicans were actually interested in trading Herb. And I think either Jake Fisher or Mark Stein reported that they weren't interested in trading Herb Jones last night, which makes sense because of all the things I said that makes him a valuable player. It's unfortunate. He definitely would have been a top trade target of mine if he were available, but I'll swing it back to you for some other names.
Yeah, just for a little more additional context, like Jacob was saying, for anyone that doesn't know, it's Herb Jones. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know how to say the rookie's name, but their rookie center's name and Trey Murphy are the only three guys the Pelicans are not willing to trade. Zion, Brandon Ingram, they're hearing out offers on all those guys. But in terms of guys I would want to see the Sixers go after, I mean, the Nets, the tradable two on the Nets, Dorian Finney-Smith, Cam Johnson, either of those would intrigue me. I'm more speaking just from a fit perspective. I don't know how all the financials and trade packages would break down. I would have to look into that a little more closely. But either of those two would intrigue me as a front court addition. And then in terms of like looking to replace McCain's production, I think you got to go pretty cheap there in terms of what you would look to acquire. I wouldn't hate a reunion with like Josh Richardson, just a guy that can give a couple solid minutes, play some solid defense. Like, obviously, nothing special. Can't even compare to McCain. But if you really want to look cheap there, that's an option. You could honestly maybe even get away with like a swap for Eric Gordon there or something pretty cheap. If you want to go a little more high end, I can't really imagine them even going high end to replace McCain just because that seems a little forced. So I would look more with those Nets guys in the front court.
Yeah, to kind of build off what you were saying about a McCain replacement, I don't know how likely it is if it would trade for a guy like Josh Richardson, who was probably worth a veteran's minimum, which I think that's the contract he's on. And
Yeah,
it's
I
kind
think.
of crazy with how good McCain has been that we're even saying McCain replacement just shows, just goes to show you how amazing he's
Levels.
been. Exactly. As far as you said about the Nets, Dorian Finney-Smith, he'd be a great fit, but the price is a bit steep. As a matter of fact, I did a collab post with the Instagram page called NBA Trade Center and a mock trade. Not saying I would do it before any fans kill me, but the mock trade was KJ Martin, Kelly Oubre, and the 2029 first swap with the Clippers. To be clear, that is not the 2028 unprotected pick. That is a pick swap. So that's an option because Dorian Finney-Smith is a guy who's making, I believe, 15 million a year. So you'd have to like aggregate salaries there. And another guy who would be a perfect fit, but because of his high salary, is a bit unrealistic, is Cam Johnson. Because in that case, I think the Sixers would have to give up like Caleb, Kelly, and KJ, along with a lot of draft capital. And at that point, it's kind of a risky move considering the state of the Sixers this season
Of
and the fact
course.
that you're giving up so much draft capital for powerful, very quality power forward, but it's still a very big asking price, and that's just what the market is today. As far as a McCain replacement, there's not many like point guard because I think more than anything they have to get a traditional point guard and not like a McCain replacement per se. But there really isn't any like solid point guards that fit like what the Sixers can financially offer. Like obviously, there's Malcolm Brogdon, but he's making 20 million. And again, you'd have to aggregate a bunch of players. There's also Colin Sexton, but he really doesn't fill that traditional point guard role either. And he's also making similar type of money. So there really isn't a perfect situation. I definitely have to, do more research when the trade deadline comes to think of, any potential targets.
Yeah, I feel like I saw an article either earlier today or yesterday that was talking a little bit about Trey Jones. I don't know what kind of contract he's on, honestly, in San Antonio, but I don't know. I think that could be he is the traditional point guard. Him and Tyus are both kind of similar in that aspect, so I wouldn't mind that as a McCain replacement.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Like I don't really know his contract either, but I think if that were to happen, you would probably financially have to give up like one of Caleb, Kelly, or KJ. But I really don't see the value in that, especially because while Trey is a solid guard, I don't think it's worth that plus a few seconds. And I don't know how deep they want to go for this McCain replacement. I think a lot of it is they probably want to see, where they're at come the deadline. Because I saw a report that we haven't talked about yet from Mark Stein saying that the Sixers' goal is to preserve flexibility for the 2025 offseason, which kind of signifies to me that they're maybe more open to the idea of selling than they originally let on or
Buying,
just we originally thought. And a big issue that comes with that is Gershon Yabusele, because he has been probably you could argue he's been the best free agent acquisition of this offseason. He's been phenomenal. Been the full package as a
biggest
passer.
steal for
Yeah,
sure, biggest
exactly.
steal for sure.
Yeah, like his shooting, his passing, rebounding from the forward position. Like he's really been that traditional forward that everyone has wanted, but he is on a veteran's minimum contract and he's playing a bit too well to the point where a team could potentially offer him a bag next summer. And I'm not 100% crisp on the Sixers cap situation for this offseason yet. But it seems like with how well he's playing, like I said, a team can definitely offer him a very solid paycheck that the Sixers, may not be able to match. So a lot of people were speculating that if it's to a point where the season's essentially lost, that you kind of sell high on Gershon and flip him at the deadline for whatever. So what are your thoughts about that?
I was literally gonna continue with what you said at the end there about I mean, if you're at a point in the season where you know Gershon's going to get a bag, like you said, next summer, just like something that the Sixers just can't in their heart match, why wouldn't you sell him high at the deadline? Like, why hold him on a 3, 4 month more rental and then lose him for nothing in the offseason? That's what frustrates me so much about just the NBA in general. Teams that will just keep guys and then lose them in the summer for nothing. Like, you look at like a Siakam situation, the Pacers took a big risk there. And I think it also paid off for Toronto, just like getting like I didn't think he was going to re-sign there that offseason. So it's always smarter to get a return back than no return at all. So I would not be against selling high on Gershon.
Yeah, I think a big thing is just for that deal to kind of formulate is Daryl Morey would have to be sure that they can get him back in the offseason.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
so basically, if they deal Gershon, that's pretty much an indicator that they wouldn't be able to afford him whatsoever. But I obviously don't quote me because I need to do more research on the cap situation, but maybe they could re-sign him with an MLE or maybe like an, like, yeah, level of MLE because I think they used a biannual exception this past offseason. So maybe it's possible, but with the way he's playing, there might be a team who could outbid the Sixers, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's like they couldn't sign him to more than 1 year, though. It was too risky to ever do that. And then, I mean, you sign KJ. KJ is 100% getting traded, without a doubt in my mind. I assume, would you agree with that assessment? Like, that contract was simply signed to be moved.
Real quick, I do have actual news for tonight's game. LaMelo Ball is available to play tonight. So the Hornets will pretty much be at full strength minus Trey Mann and Grant Williams. So let's dive into that for 30 seconds, then we'll go back to the KJ talk. So obviously, this just got a lot harder in their win against the Charlotte Hornets, where McCain popped off in overtime. They did not have an answer for LaMelo Ball's shot making, but the shots he was taking, like LaMelo Ball's shot diet
Oh,
is
he's
something like
ridiculous.
it's
It's like
ridiculous.
AAU basketball type shot selection, and it goes in.
I know it's ridiculous. So that just made things a lot harder, and this may be a loss for the Sixers. That really sways things. So this is now a very important game because if they lose this, they'll be 10 games below 500, and maybe in a little bit of a danger zone. But back to what we were talking about, KJ. I kind of proposed this because I've always been a KJ Martin guy personally. I've been high on him since the Sixers got him in the James Harden package last season, because I truly saw the vision of him being like a cutter and a defender, and he's really developed in that role past week. And I even said at the beginning of the season, if there's a world where KJ develops into a quality role player, do you trade him just to trade him? And I think the answer is no, unless something really solid comes up, because KJ has just been so impactful as a help defender, as a short role guy, as a cutter, which will really showcase when Embiid is finally back. So yeah, KJ Martin has been phenomenal, and I think he brings a certain kick and youth that the Sixers really haven't had this much besides McCain and Council. So
Yeah, I would more picture it in a bigger trade rather than just like some one for one swap with a second rounder if he was to get moved. I mean, like you were explaining, he has been doesn't I mean, I think Nick Nurse literally said surprisingly like good in preseason. Like he saw him as a surprise and he has been. So I don't know, to me that's where I kind of stand with that, just seeing him go somewhere else in a bigger package. Touching on the Hornets game a little bit, I'm sure by the time anyone is listening or watching this, we'll have seen the result of that game. I don't see a world where they stop LaMelo, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like he's
especially with
been
Caleb Martin out, he's the sixth. I know everyone wants to hate on Caleb Martin. It's understandable. He struggled offensively, but he has been the Sixers' best point of attack defender, and I don't really think it's close. So without him, you're probably going to have Kelly on LaMelo, and that's probably not going to end well.
That is a disaster.
I could
Yep.
look like a complete idiot by the time people are listening, but that's my initial thoughts. They don't have anyone to stop LaMelo. And with that being said, PG will probably be on Brandon Miller, which I'm fine with, but
That's
at a
his
certain
goat.
point,
His goat. The goat's
exactly,
gonna
yeah.
lock him down. Like, come
Yeah,
on.
we saw him going shot for shot in their last game at Charlotte too, which is cool to see. So it's going to be a very difficult game, and the Sixers are really depleted in terms of depth, especially with McCain out now. When I was making my game day post yesterday, it kind of felt like a dagger in the chest to put him on the injury report in the graphics. So without a lot of depth, and with LaMelo Ball being back, it doesn't look great, but I'm not going to count it out, but I'm feeling 7-17.
Look, I will close us on a more positive note. The Hornets are coming off the historically worst combined 3-point shooting performance of all time
That just means they're going to shoot
against the
58% from three
Bulls.
tonight.
Look, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it before the game. I'll leave that positive sign out there. And
Hey, we saw Jalen Green and Tyrese Haliburton have get right games on the Sixers. So, I mean,
look. Think positive. Think positive. That's all I'll
all
say. But
right.
I also see 7-17 incoming. Thank you everyone for tuning in to episode one, and we look forward to doing this more.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.